Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you. Hey, I got a hail from Ali. I'm fucking persistence. We get this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes. So please rate, review, subscribe, and share our page to all your friends, family members, and loved ones. Because remember, you truly don't love someone until you have spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. You're a good guy. Ali, not so much. We are your hosts of this illustrious, majestic, costume-winning podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, which means I can tell you that the Cubs and the Indians, which is a racist-ass name, by the way, are in the World Series, and they're, I don't know what the thing is that they're playing right now, like what their scores are, because I don't care about baseball. And now, the man who can give you the history behind why there's a Billy Goat curse, maybe?
My name is Ali A. Alomi. I am the classic nerd of the group. And, V?
My name is V. I cover all the things that Ali and Diz do not, such as comic books, movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Guys, What were you for Halloween?
Your mom.
Well, that's not... You just wore a scarf? Not very original.
Wow.
You fucking racist. Can you be racist against your own people?
That was a good one. You set me up for it.
I did. You went as my mom for Halloween. Good to know. V, what were you?
I was in Stockholm.
Oh. So you were an American in a foreign place.
Yes. Mm. Standard costume for a lot of, for me a lot. So
makes sense. I partied a lot for Halloween, but I've recycled like Halloween costumes because I'm fucking lazy.
And what were your best Halloween costumes?
My best Halloween costume?
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix. I went to the thrift store and I found like women's clothing.
Like, by Jimi Hendrix, you mean you just... You put on an afro.
Put on an afro wig. I had like a scarf.
But doesn't every like frat boy do that? Like they put on an afro and then they...
I had a guitar.
Kind of, yeah.
That's their Halloween. It's not actually a costume.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking afro is what it is.
I had a guitar. I had like a cool scarf. I had purple pants. I wore a women's tuxedo shirt. I went in blackface.
Please tell me you
didn't. I did not do it. I was smoking a lot of ganja. Yeah. I cut like my forehead a little bit and dipped my bandana in acid. No, and then I also has gone as the Macho Man Randy Savage, which I did this year as well. And I went as a nerd too, which is always fun.
So how did you Macho Man?
What I did with Macho Man was I have the purple Macho Man shirt.
Yeah.
Right. I did that. I have some zebra tights that are purple.
Okay.
Right? Purple and black zebra tights.
Yeah. Well, I guess that works.
But like, they're like fucking women's sheer tights. So yeah, I wear like some like Under Armour compression shorts on top of it. Mm-hmm. I got my Intercontinental Championship belt. Yeah. You know? And then I got the bandana on or wig over the bandana. And I just talk like this.
What about you? What was your most famous costume?
Let's see. You know, as a cosplayer, I actually don't dress. I haven't dressed up in Halloween for a little bit because I've usually been traveling a lot of the time. But
Dayman.
And my Dayman outfit for San Diego Comic Con is always a good one. When we were in high school, I did the robot outfit.
I remember the
which
robot.
Which did surprisingly well.
Just cardboard boxes, right?
Yeah, but it was like covered in foil and had like a face on and everything. And it actually worked out really well because it looked really cool.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of robust. You could be a robot.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it works because my shoulders are pretty wide, so like I can fit my arms through the sides of the box without it like being too loose or like my arms being too short to like, you know, to actually put down along like the waist.
Yeah, I couldn't be a robot. Wouldn't work for me.
That worked out really well. Other than that, Halloween has always been my favorite, but I've usually been working, so I usually don't have like a elaborate costume. I did Cookie Monster a couple of times in a kind of different iterations, which also worked out well. I had a weird fruit theme for a while.
I remember it
was banana. Limes and a banana once, and I did like a thing of grapes. You know, this one other time, I thought that was pretty good. The secret for me is that you have to look like someone forced you to wear it, so it makes it funny. You have to look like you really don't want to be in it, and then people just kind of get entertained by the fact that you, it seems like you were like four, like your mom made you wear it or something, you know? Yeah.
Like you had like a girlfriend that made you wear a fruit costume because she was going as a fruit.
So you got to go as like something like stupid and then you look like you really didn't want to wear it. And then somehow it just kind of makes everything seem better.
I think next year I'm going to go as like a bottle of mustard.
Mustard bottle. Okay. Yeah.
And then like when people are like, oh, where's the ketchup? But like, well, you know, she left me before Halloween. And I still had the stupid costume. So like, just give myself a little backstory.
What you should do is you should be kind of a doofus and be like, well, she ran away, but I couldn't catch up.
Puns. Puns are good.
Then you probably get kicked in the nuts.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens a lot. I also, something happened to me Halloween at a party that has never happened before. I guess for whatever reason, I look like the type of guy that would take advantage of a drunk girl.
Because did someone accuse you of like dropping roofies on somebody?
No, because my friend got really drunk.
When was this?
This was the 22nd. So a week before.
So just recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So at the party...
Wait, are we moving on? I haven't told anyone my costume yet.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Wow, self-centered fucks. Yeah, yeah. A lot of you.
You're just quiet. What's your? I'll tell my story after you tell me your costume.
That's not that important. Yeah. I just wanted to disrupt. For the record, my favorite costume I went as Jafar. Yeah, and my friend went as Red Jasmine.
Yeah, you would be Jafar. And did you have her in a chain?
I did have her in a chain. The chain wasn't real. It wasn't real. Like, it wasn't like metal.
Piece of shit.
Plastic chain shit.
I can see you having some David Allen Ray fucking toy box killer type shit.
Holy shit.
It was Jafar and Red Jasmine. I don't know why you got to psychoanalyze that shit.
I'm just saying. It says a lot about you.
How much of the Jafar outfit did you already have in your wardrobe?
All of it. I just needed an Iago. I don't know. It wasn't actually a Jafar outfit. It's what I dress up as on Saturdays. I didn't know it was Halloween. I just perchance showed up.
I had a turban. Had your goatee.
I was like, oh, it's Halloween. Yeah.
I have this chain on this woman.
I'm going as Jafar. That's right.
Yeah.
Had the snake staff and everything. It's just regular old Saturday.
Happened to procure a woman and put her in chains. Yeah. She's Jasmine, by the way.
Her? Oh, that's Jasmine. Yeah.
Her father's the Sultan. You ever heard of him?
That's fucked
up. In Aladdin, doesn't he like... Because it's a white guy that's actually voicing the Sultan, right?
So white guy's voicing everyone.
Yeah,
basically.
But doesn't he say Allah really weird?
Yeah,
like
he goes
really
Allah.
Weird... Allah.
Allah praise me. Praise Allah. I'm like, nope. Don't know who that Allah is.
Okay, so now let's go back to like my serious story.
Yeah, your stupid story.
Serious.
So I'm joking about sexual.
It's not joke.
Slavery.
Oh, you.
Let's move on to roofies.
No.
It's messed up.
No. I didn't get accused of roofing someone. So my friend.
Did you?
No. What the fuck's wrong with you?
I don't know.
It's a valid question.
No, it's not. You piece of shit. You're more likely to roofie somebody than I am.
Why would I roofie? I've never roofied anyone.
You're
in my
more
life.
Likely to drug someone just so you could like psychoanalyze.
I would never drug anyone. I'm a good man. Out of the two of us, who's the sexual pervert?
You.
This is opposite day? Topsy turvy day?
I don't know. You have a fucking.
This is little Donald Trump. You're the puppet.
You have a red room, bro.
Like, seriously, like, only Diz would think that a legit response is no, you're the sexual pervert. Really?
Well, I don't see you as someone who would drug people with, like, say, pills.
Yeah.
But you'd find some type of root or herb or something. And then you would, like, you know, you have to simmer it in olive oil and, you know, like chicken feet or something. And then you.
Yeah, I can see you putting a truth serum in like V's drink one day.
Y'all are taking this too far.
Because you probably has.
But not to do messed up stuff, just to, you know, be like, find out what your childhood fears are or something.
Yeah, just to get some shits and giggles.
Your roofie
for
story.
I didn't roofie anyone. So my friend, I've known her like my whole life, right? Got really, really drunk.
Just
like,
because you know someone doesn't mean you should roofie him.
Listen. So
I'm just saying it's a
so she's,
I mean, that's a true statement.
Yeah.
So she's hunched over in the corner, like just too drunk, right? Okay. So walk over to her.
I just want to clarify, date rape is not ever funny.
No.
We're not making fun of date rape.
Can you
just making fun of this.
We're not
just want to clarify this.
So look,
all our female listeners.
Yes.
So this is so this
we
what
respect
happened.
You. We
so do. I go and talk to her to see like she's just slurring, she doesn't know where the fuck she is. Mm. So I go grab her cousin.
Where is this going? I'm getting uncomfortable.
So I go grab her cousin, And I grab her DD and I'm like, hey, you guys need to take her home. She's
her what?
You guys need to take her home.
What did you grab though?
Her designated driver.
Whoa, I thought DD as in like our aunt DD.
No, fool, her designated driver.
See, you'd be the only one that would think that.
We call our aunt DD.
And I know that, but I, you know.
Why the hell would I grab my aunt at a party, Rose? Uh-huh. Like,
well, and maybe she was the designated driver.
For all I know.
Oh, she lives in Virginia. Anyways, so grab her cousin, grab her DD, right? And she's like, all right, I'm going to pull the car around. Can you guys walk her, like, walk her out? And she's like, take her outside the backyard. Don't take her inside the house. I don't want everyone seeing that she's like really fucked up like that. And we're like, okay, no worries. So there's two guys, me and her cousin, and we're just like holding her up, like walking her to the car. And like these two girls follow us. And they're like, what are you guys doing with her? Like taking her to her car so she could go home. And then what? And then she's going to.
Who is this that's questioning you?
It's like two random girls, right? It's like stopping us, like to make sure, like we're not like trying to like rape this drunk girl. We're like, no, this is her cousin, and I'm one of her childhood friends. Her designated driver.
I wouldn't be
right
offended.
There.
I'm actually, I would appreciate that they were.
I'm not offended. Yeah. I just said I was surprised because I've never gotten that before, where someone would think that I'm a sexual.
That beard.
Yeah, no, it's not the beard. I was at a fucking brown person's party. Everyone had fucking beards. For the most part. Stop. Is your mic broken?
No.
Okay.
I was dusting today. And I have asthma, so when I dusted all the dust, like I have, my nose is all allergied up.
Okay, I thought you were going to accuse me of your mic being broken, but.
No, I'm a, I apologize to all, everyone listening. I was trying to be clean today. I dusted and it didn't go well.
No, like.
Howard Dean's going to accuse you at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I paid a price for my cleanliness.
Yeah. No, I appreciate.
Now I'm all stuffed up.
I appreciated what they were doing.
Right.
They're like, we got to take care of our drunk sisters. I was like, yeah, me too. That's why I'm trying to get her ass home, you know? Like, and like, I was walking back into the party and they're like, oh, you're not leaving? I was like, no, I was just helping her to her car. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you want to go take a shot with us? Hell yes, I do. I'm going to put roofies in that shit.
What did we just say? You know what I think's funny about it?
I didn't put roofies in their drinks, I promise.
Not those ones, anyway.
We need to redo this episode. This is horrible. This is wrong.
Well, honestly, it's good that they're, I mean, you don't always see that.
No.
You know, especially when you're like a big party atmosphere where there's a club and there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, you don't always see people looking out for others.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it was a house party. So, like, everyone knew everyone.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good. It's like, because it's not like you're going to go to like a random club in LA or something and like, find someone to be like, to be on roofie watch, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard, because I've had friends who said, yeah, you know, like sometimes if you notice someone putting something in your drink, someone will actually come up and tell the person.
Oh, if I saw it, I'd
you know,
fucking
yeah,
punch the guy.
Which is nice, you know, which is awesome because it kind of shows that, you know, not everyone's alone, you know, in the situation.
If I saw a dude slipping something in a girl's drink, I think I'd punch him right in the face.
Yeah.
You ever seen the show What Would You Do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
They did an experiment like that where, like, the guy, like, roofied a girl and shit and, like, seeing what people would do. Some people stayed quiet.
Yeah,
you can't stay quiet.
Yeah, some like people that. Stay quiet for a lot of things. Like, you just never know.
Well, I didn't think it was appropriate for me to say anything, you know, so I didn't say anything. Let that girl, she wanted to have a drink with that nice
gentleman. But there was that one guy that got up and like blocked the door and called the cops.
Yeah, he wouldn't let him leave and shit. Yeah.
Well, because what is it? Is that the, was it the bystander syndrome?
Bystander
is that
effect, yeah. Right.
Bystander effect?
It's like a fucking psychological term where like you think someone else is going to do something, right? So you just sit idly by it.
Yeah.
Like, that's why, like, some crimes don't get reported and shit because you always expect the person next door or the other person to do it. So, like, it was, like, a case in New York with, like, what was it, like, the Summer of Sam or some shit? Like, he was killing somebody and everyone, like, people witnessed it and people thought that someone else was going to call the police and no one did. And then finally, like, one person did.
Well, David Berkowitz, I think, was the son of – yeah, that's Son of Sam is David Berkowitz, I think.
Yeah, that shit.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy to think about, but I actually had just listened to some stuff about the Son of Sam murders, and what's crazy about it is it's just him going around shooting random people, right?
Mm-hmm. In New York,
but the actual community of New York within that area, it actually affected society so much because he had, you know, he was looking for fame. It was an attention thing for David Berkowitz, right?
He bragged about it.
Yeah, because he was, you know, writing letters and shit, and he made some false thing about how he loved brunettes with long hair. So all of a sudden, all these women in New York were changing their hairstyles to that really short haircut.
Yeah.
because like to avoid, yeah, to avoid or to hopefully that making it so it was like David Berkowitz wouldn't come and kill them. So he actually affected an actual style in the 70s because he was murdering women. He was shooting people randomly on the street.
It was originally he had a type, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a particular type.
Well, most serial killers do have a type.
Yeah, but it ended up being they also they overanalyzed the Son of Sam so much that they thought it was like more than he was. He wasn't like a brilliant.
He was just a random jerk who'd go around shooting people.
Yeah. He ended up being just some guy, right? Yeah, he was some Italian guy, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, his last name is Berkowitz.
Sounds Jewish.
Jewish.
Or Polish.
Maybe Polish.
Yeah, but you see that with a lot of serial killers. You know, they're not always the most. They're not. Like some of like sociopath, like guys like Dahmer and stuff are absolutely like, you know, considered pretty smart. Even
they're diabolical.
Yeah. Or like guys like the Hillside Stranglers, like one of them was an absolute moron.
That's the difference between
a
sociopath and a psychopath, right? The psychopaths are generally has a mental issue, right?
Yeah.
Sociopaths, it's a social thing.
They know exactly what they're doing, but they don't care about. They there have no empathy for the other person. There's no concept of morality. Of yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you see that in a lot of people. And then, like, it's a difference between someone like Ed Gein, who had actually visible, like, social impairments, right? He wanted to become a woman and is also, you know, and he would murder women and he would turn their skin. He'd make a skin suit, right?
Buffalo Bill.
Yeah. I was like, that's what it's based off, right? Yeah. There was, like, actual.
He was Italian American. Yeah.
It was Italian American. Yeah. Okay. So, like, Ed Gein was. Like they said that he was mentally unstable, but then you look at a guy like the Hillside Stranglers, Ken Bianchi, who's actually like he knew what he was doing was bad.
What have you been up to these days? All you've been talking about is murderers and psychopaths. And have you been going on a binge of some sort?
I have been.
I figured.
Yeah.
What's that? Like Wikipedia?
I've been doing the Wikipedia jump because it's been Halloween.
So you've just been looking up serial killers?
Serial killers, yeah.
You know that's not a good sign, right?
Yeah, I know. I did the sociopath test.
What'd you score?
I think I scored a 44. No,
pretty high.
No. I think I scored like a 7, some sort of like a 6 or some shit like that.
Did you take that test, Ali?
No.
It's kind of a weird test too, because it's like it's based. You go 0 to 2, right? And they just make a bunch of statements, and you basically say whether or not you completely agree with it or you don't, right?
Agree, disagree.
Yeah, kind of, right? Uh-huh. And they'll ask you weird things like if you're at a children's birthday party, like your little cousin squirts you with a water gun, right? And then in order to get back at him, you like throw the water gun at him and he trips and he like hits his head on the side of like the pool. You know, like not seriously, but like if he like trips and hits him and he hurts, it's like how much pleasure did you derive from seeing your cousin get hurt?
There is
hurt,
an
right?
element of sociopathy in a lot of people, right? The issue is not whether you derive pleasure from other people's pain. The issue is whether you will act on it, right? So, like, we're socialized to have a sense of right and wrong.
Oh, right? So, like, I know tripping my coworkers wrong when I trip
empathy,
them anyway.
Right? And the sociopath doesn't care.
Yeah.
Right? There is that thing that keeps us all... Because technically, children are notoriously cruel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Children have a capacity for great cruelty. I mean, one of the most famous examples, like those 12-year-old boys that ended up taking the 8-year-old and torturing
kid. Yeah.
Kidnapped him right from the mall, right?
What the fuck?
And tortured an 8-year-old. These were 12-year-olds. These are kids themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sociopathy, everyone has a capacity for evil and a capacity for cruelty. But the question is, on the scales, how willing are you to do those things? It has very little to do with capacity, right? Because we all have the capacity for various things, right?
You think we all have the capacity for murder?
Not murder per se, but we all have capacities, varying levels of cruelty. Right?
Yeah, like some and manipulation.
Everyone can be, some people are very cruel, some people are not that cruel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cold-hearted bitch, right? Mm. That's it. Like, we all have the capacity for it. But it's the willingness that's the real issue of sociopathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
With sociopathy, it's like when you're willing to do it, and that filter is gone, that's when you're a sociopath, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks of murder at some point in time. I know that I came close.
To me? Killing me?
You come close regularly. Every time the podcast ends right at the right moment, your life is spared. I nearly killed Mustafa. I've told this story before.
And you said in Germany.
Germany. I was like, if they didn't have extradition laws.
Exactly, international waters.
I would have killed his ass. He drove me nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know how you spent that much time with
him. 2 weeks straight with him, and every day was something else.
I almost killed a child at work once.
No, I've never had anger towards children.
Well,
I generally pretend that they're pigeons.
In my defense, I was very, very, very hungover, and he had the highest pitched scream I have ever heard in my life. And he just randomly do it, laugh. His parents would give him the dirty look, and then he'd run around and do it again.
Most kids generally don't misbehave around me because I give them the look of like, I'm not your parents, and I'm evil. And they're like...
The death gaze.
Yeah, I give them the death gaze.
Yeah.
You master that when you do a lot of airline travel, too.
Look.
You give them the look, and then usually the parents will be like, all right, fine. And discipline the child.
No, that doesn't always happen. There's a little fucking...
You're not particular. I mean, you're about their size, so...
Yeah, it's true. But I would think on an airplane that I would scare them, right? But it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah, not for kids. Say, they haven't been socialized to fear brown people yet.
You scare the parents, though, for sure.
A sign of sociopathy is actually cruelty towards children, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's like we all have various capacities of hurting people, but most of us don't have the capacity to hurt children and animals.
I've spanked my nephews before.
The closest we come to is a particular type of evolutionary response where we want to squeeze the shit out of things.
Yeah.
Too cute.
Mm-hmm.
I want to squeeze that. It's a type of violence, right?
You squeeze the life out of
you. You want to literally commit some form of violence, but it's based off of this idea of
love,
of uncontrollable emotion, right? But it's not an act of cruelty, right? People do that with kids and animals. They squeeze, like,
it's so cuddly, right?
Yeah, what are you doing to that cat? Leave it alone.
Pinching their cheeks.
But when you do it as an act of cruelty, like people who are cruel to animals and people who are cruel to children, generally those are very clear signs of sociopathy. Yeah.
Isn't there a trifecta for like serial killers, like wetting the bed?
There's four markers, but it's if you get the trifecta, you're a sociopath. It's wetting the bed, cruelty to animals, cruelty to children, and there's one more, sexual deviance of some form.
I guess that makes sense.
Usually
yeah.
it's like some type of weird relationship with
sexual
sex.
Compulsion, and that's how you end up like...
So like necrophilia, those type of things. A lot of sociopaths are, right?
Yeah.
And that once you have the trifecta, you're a sociopath, right? And then there's other markers, right? Like sociopaths tend to be very charming.
Yeah.
Because they are...
they understand manipulation, and there's no...
Because they themselves don't have those feelings, right? Mm-hmm. They understand how to manipulate without getting invested. Whereas we have a hard time with manipulation is often blocked off by your own investment, right? You're not willing to say whatever you can to get with that girl because you may have some investment of being honest with her or investment of actually the relationship working. Yeah. But when there isn't that investment, you're much more free to do and say what you need to.
Yeah,
and that's where sociopaths...
I think sociopaths would be great salesmen.
Sociopaths are fantastic.
Yeah. Because they interesting enough, shark they one another. Yeah.
Generally are.
Yeah. Okay.
They end up either becoming politicians, they're either in sales. What was it? Dahmer at one point. I think it was Dahmer, wasn't it? Dahmer at one point was on a suicide hotline.
Yeah, he was. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah, he worked at a suicide hotline.
Just worked at a suicide hotline.
But he also used it to be able to pick up on girls and stuff.
Which one's the one who dressed up as a clown?
John Wayne Gacy.
He had under the porch.
Yeah, a crawl space. Crawl space.
He had buried a bunch.
But guys like Gacy is that it was his constant beratement from his father. Like a lot of abuse happens during the childhood, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's really interesting because it was him. A part of it had to do with the fact that him not being able to reconcile the fact that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
That caused him to seek out.
There's
young
almost
boys.
Always some form of sexual, like not just necessarily deviance, but like uncomfortableness with
repression.
Sex.
Yeah. Maybe
it's repression. They generally have an uncomfortable relationship with sex. They were sexually abused as children, or they faced some form of sexual punishment. There was I think it was Dahmer again that had purity issues. Like his mom was obsessed with purity. One of them was right, like, and would force him to like bathe in almost like Clorox and shit, right?
Holy shit.
There was another one that would give another one that had regular enemas, right? Like hot, boiling hot enemas.
Ew.
Because they felt that the child was... So there's always like this obsession with sex. There is a fascination with it, a fear of taboo, and there's a reason why they then commit acts that violate that. Sociopaths generally also end up as being cult leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
They almost always end up being a...
Because there's a certain charisma there that's just not like...
Politician, cult leader, salesman. Those are like the trifecta.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, I don't know if he's a sociopath. I don't think so. I think he's a...
He's a narcissist.
I think he's an extreme narcissist, a megalomaniac, but I don't think he's a sociopath. I think he does feel regret. I think he does feel emotions. I think, though, however...
He also thinks
so sheltered. Yeah. He's so sheltered.
Yeah.
They think, like, for example, this whole sexual abuse thing, right? Mm-hmm. I think he legitimately thinks he never did anything wrong because in his mind, he didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course women would want him to kiss them and grope them, right? Yeah. He's Donald Trump. Whereas a sociopath would know that he did something wrong. They just don't care.
Yeah.
He's too sheltered. I don't think he's a sociopath.
The thing about a sociopath, too, is that they're very crafty about maintaining a certain image of themselves, right? And they don't normally slip up nearly as much as Donald
they
Trump
don't,
has.
They don't. There's never a – sociopaths don't falter. They're generally almost always in control. Even when they get caught, there's an element of playing with the control aspect.
I mean, it's like a highly manicured, like
– Even when they're about to die, they generally take their own lives,
yeah,
right? Because there's like – it's on my time, on my turf. Whereas Donald Trump is a narcissist. But I'm actually in the process, I've just finished up writing a piece comparing Donald Trump to a religious movement. Mm. Because I don't think what we're seeing with Donald Trump is typical of a political party. What you see is very much clearly the cult of personality taken to a political level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've argued that he represents, he's actually, to understand him, you have to put him in the guise of a heretical, charismatic religious leader, which is why he also does things like what? Break with orthodoxy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say if I'll accept the election. For us, that's a sacred institution, right?
Yeah.
If you accept my original thesis several months earlier, where I argue that the nation is a form of religion, right? There's a civic religion. And that there are certain ceremonial aspects to that religion.
Yeah.
The president in particular.
Right?
The president in particular, right?
Our Pope.
Unlike other countries where you have a division between a ceremonial leader, like take England, right? The ceremonial leader is who?
The queen.
Uh-huh. Whereas the political leader is the prime minister.
Yeah.
We invest our political leader with a form of ceremonial power as well. So that's why our institutions are called sacred. Right? Uh-huh. Our democracy is sacred.
Yeah.
So when you have someone like Donald Trump say, oh, I'm not going to accept the results, that is a violation of something that we find sacred. And in some regards, that's what made him popular in the first place.
This is true.
Is that he was heretical.
Yeah.
Right? He said things. I mean, most of his stuff is not. Now in the general election, he's adopted some traditional Republican stances, but he ran as a blue-collar populist.
Yeah.
Nothing he proposed is really radically it's not really conservative. The idea of building a wall, infrastructure development, these are all blue-collar populism, right? The idea of spending that much money, most Republicans are like, fuck that shit.
But he's going to make Mexico pay for it.
Well, he's changed now. Now he says Mexico will reimburse us for it.
Oh, get reimbursed.
He flipped like last minute.
We'll take care of it. But
last 2 weeks, he's like, yeah, they'll reimburse it. So like these are not. So if you understand Donald Trump in that line, right, read the article when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite interesting.
I think this is actually going to be interesting because, I mean, if you look at charismatic leaders and how, like, how a mind who could be so unhinged can literally force movements and change in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things like cults, we look at something as powerful as like Scientology.
Would you consider Scientology a cult?
Because Scientology is considered a cult by most people.
Yeah.
It can be offensive. Now remember, one person's cult is another person's religion.
Yeah.
Right. But it is considered by most academics very cult-like.
So technically, you can also, I mean, just because there's not even a religious slant to it, I mean, you look at anything like the Montana Militia or like any of these other like military nativist groups that are located all over the United States. You know, they strongly believe in a very specific type of doctrine that is usually placed upon them by, you know, like a single entity.
Uh-huh.
So I think the idea of being of cult is a very dangerous concept. And I think that actually, given that it's the day after Halloween, I think it can be just as scary as, say, ghosts or demons.
I'm going to be honest with you. Shit, like ghosts and demons and spirits, they scare me, but I'm more scared of the motherfucker that's...
I've always said that I'm not, like, when I go watch horror movies and shit, I'm not particularly scared of, like, The Exorcist and stuff like that. It's the ones with living people that I'm, because that...
Strangers.
You know there's a fucker in Texas that's doing that shit.
Yeah.
For me and all of my nightmares, it's Texas. So, like, every time I've ever... I don't have nightmares very often. In fact, I don't think I've had a nightmare since as a teenager. But... when I used to have them,
it's true.
They will always involve Texas.
When we were in high school, Ali came up to me. He's like, "Hey, did you see that really scary documentary?" I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about?" "So, one about Texas." I'm like, "You mean the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?" He's like, "Yeah, that one.
That's a documentary." Yeah. I still believe it's a documentary.
What the fuck, man?
It is a documentary.
Leatherface is not.
Look, I'm telling you right now that it won a lot of awards for documentary of the year. And that, to me, tells me that that was a very good documentary.
Seriously. Awards?
It did. For, I gave it 3.
Yeah.
See, for accurate portrayal of Texans, for historical accuracy.
Yeah. And Ali poo-pooed all literacy. Yeah. Ali poo-pooed all over Bowling for Columbine. He's like, you said that's not even a real documentary. And then Texas Chainsaw Massacre, he's like, oh, that's a great one.
Wait, hold on. Bowling for Columbine isn't a real documentary?
I think that they mistake their geography. I'm pretty sure Bowling for Columbine happened in Texas too. For fuck's sake. It's always Texas.
We somehow managed to insult all the women at the beginning of the podcast.
Well, he did. I didn't.
Well, yeah. But
now I've offended all of Texans.
Yeah.
There's not that many people there. It's only the largest state.
Well, geographically.
I'm actually pretty comfortable with if Texas was removed.
Tejas goes back to Mexico?
Because the reason is that I always had an issue with Texas because they fuck up textbooks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're the largest purchaser of textbooks.
Second largest. Yeah. Purchaser.
No, they're the largest purchaser.
Yeah, because they're exponentially bigger than most.
You have to make sure. Every time you write a textbook, you gotta be like, okay, what is Texas gonna say?
Yeah.
And this was like a little bit of give and forth, back and forth.
Because they wanted to take slavery out of textbooks.
Yeah, like, they wanted to soften slavery.
Yeah, they call it like servitude.
Colorado's a bit problematic too sometimes.
Is it too high? I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
No, Colorado, Utah, and Texas are like the three that are kind of. It's usually more local in Colorado versus the entire state, but like in there's also issues with like AP US history. It was not considered sufficiently patriotic.
What? And this is in Colorado?
That's horrible. Yeah. Sufficiently patriotic. Some loaded bullshit.
There's always like a struggle between historians and then people who consume history who are like, well, I don't like that. And I'm like, well,
it happened.
I'm a historian. What did you want me to do?
You know, I mean, there's a difference
Do you want me to write you a fairy tale?
You know, Herodotus and Joseph Goebbels are two completely different approaches.
There's always a battle between people who... This is one of the reasons why historians generally don't write that many popular history books anymore.
Yeah.
They've kind of retreated and they write what are known as a monographs.
You leave it to guys like Jared Diamond.
Yeah, which is stupid because then the journalists start to write shit. Yeah. And you're like, oh. I'm one of those rare ones that I engage with the public. I'm like, fuck it, I don't care if you don't like what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to read it. Motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm forcing people to read. Yeah. Huh? What would your cult be called?
That would be the
Alomites.
Alomians.
The Alomians.
I like the Alomites better.
No, Alomites sound like an insect of some sort.
That's
like
true.
Termite?
Yeah, yeah.
Alomians.
Alomians?
I would Alomians. Be the Branch Wazirians.
The Branch Wazirians.
The Branch Wazirians.
The Branch Wazirians.
You're so stupid. Who are you?
Trans Enrico.
Chandra. This is funny that they all kind of... I'm the only one that doesn't say, oh, the Remelians. Yeah. Okay. So before we actually talk about cults, because this is a really interesting thing, we should define what a cult really is, right? So a cult is generally any kind of social group or order that is deviant from... We have all sorts of deviants today.
Yeah.
It is deviant from orthodoxy or mainstream. They generally have certain characteristics that are similar. They're marginal socially. They exist on the margins of society. They're not participating in a kind of wide way.
They have Tumblr pages.
Yeah, they generally have some form of charismatic hierarchy, meaning that there is a singular individual or group of individuals that are dominate the group and dictate towards the group, and they all have some form of ideology. Now, the ideology doesn't necessarily have to be religious. We should be clear.
Yeah.
Right. There can be political cults and social cults. Right. Uh-huh. Some of them are, in fact, Marxist revolutionaries that are cults. And the word cult has like a negative connotation now because of our recent history with them. But every religion, every modern religion starts off as a cult.
Which
Islam is a cult. Christianity, a cult. Judaism, a cult. They're small, marginal. They eventually come to dominate, though.
And then they become a religion.
And then they become what we consider religions, right? Because in the ancient world in particular, Christianity was very much a cult. Judaism was very much a cult.
Yeah.
And Islam was a cult. And it isn't until they become part of like state apparatus, because the definition of religion is state.
Okay.
Right? It's enforced by the state. That's when they technically become what's called religio. So there are lots of different cults, and they've come to now have a negative connotation because of our recent history with them.
Yeah. Right?
So like the past 40, 50 years or so, we've had a lot of negative history with cults.
Is it because like they've been doing like suicides and
crazy the cults
shit?
What's happened is that modern cults have suffused all sorts of interesting ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, and because they are even more so cults of personality that tend to be extraordinarily exploitative and dangerous in a way that, for example, other cults are not, right? Like the older cults were generally movements, right? They meant that they were aimed at changing something.
Okay.
Modern day cults are generally reclusive.
Yeah.
They don't look at change. They may say like, oh, we're out to change the world, but they're mostly shut off.
Yeah. And they're pretty fringe.
And as a result of being fringe and shut off, they become a hotbed of dangerous activity. We found that in nearly most cases, not all, to be clear, right? Most cases of modern cults, there's some form of sexual exploitation.
Yeah.
Women are either prostituted out, there's child sex, there's all sorts of things, right? Polygamy in the sense like older men, 50s, marrying young girls who are 12 and 13.
There's that show on A&E. It's like where that girl who's part of the cult tries to save family from like
that's an extreme cult of the LDS, right?
Yeah,
the Latter-day Saints, who they themselves are sometimes called a cult by a lot of Christians.
Like the Mormons.
The Mormons are called a cult by a lot.
Well, it's like
Christians.
They're kind of straddling, right? Yeah,
Sister Wives. Is that the show?
Sister Wives is more like mainstream. Like the guys, these are like child brides.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Well, they'll arrange marry like a 50-year-old man with like a 13-year-old girl and shit.
And these aren't unique. Is that's not unique to the kind of sect of the LDS. Most cults have some form of sexual exploitation. Just recently, CNN did a documentary on one of the more newer ones that has kind of gone a little bit under the radar, known Buddha Field.
Oh yeah, they're...
yeah, Buddha Field. And in Buddha Field, the guy was telling people that they couldn't have sex with each other, but secretly he was sexually having sex with a bunch of guys, most of them who were straight.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he was using them as for his like sexual release. And he was also a hypnotherapist. So in addition to being, they would have sessions with him and he would use that as a way of getting into their deepest, darkest desires and convincing them. He's like, no, just confess to me. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So the cults have that quality to them, right? David Koresh, all of them, they have some element of sexual exploitation. They tend to be marginal.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to have some type of charismatic hierarchy. That's the general sense of what cults are. And then, you know, they vary. There's a variety of different ones. I think the most famous during our lifetime was Heaven's Gate, yeah.
Heaven's Gate.
The 90s was the big one.
So I was reading up on it because the guy, like, I was a kid and I was like 8 years old or 7 years old because all this shit was going on. But I saw the video because the website's still up.
Yeah, yeah.
And his video's still up. Like
it was crazy as hell.
Yeah. But,
yeah, Marshall Applewhite.
Yeah, but also known as
Doo,
and then he had T. That was Doe and T, because his wife was like his nurse because he had a heart attack.
Bonnie Nettles.
Yeah.
So what Marshall Applewhite had, like, he was a music teacher, or it's like he had like some performance art, and then like in the 70s, 72,
he had a
heart attack, and his nurse Bonnie Nettles was taking care of him, and it was this interesting thing, like interaction between the two, where it's like he began kind of seeing things. And she kind of acknowledged it, and it was a weird interaction where they were like, we're both in on something that other people aren't in on.
Uh-huh.
And then it kind of evolved into this, like, coming of Jesus / science fiction, like, alien cult.
But it's crazy, because this guy reminds me of one of my clients at work. I have this guy who's talking to me about, like, aliens and, like, how he goes to these seminars, and he, like, leads these seminars. And I'm like, damn, dude. Like, the fuck are you talking about, right? Like, this sounds like some, like, crazy out there shit. But, like, he's, like, completely convinced by it. Like,
He's been abducted by aliens?
No, he's had, like, contact with aliens and shit. And, like, it's funny because he came in one day and there was a dog. And the dog was so friendly with everyone. And
didn't like him.
As soon as he came and sat down, that dog went wild. And he was the third person to sit down where that dog was.
People who join cults are generally people who are searching for something, right? Mm-hmm. So cults rely on a certain vulnerability, right, in order to join, like the Buddha Fields one, right? They draw people who are looking for a place, and they offer them a place. And then they use that, because when you find a place, you all of a sudden feel at home, right? That's a very powerful bond.
Yeah, sense of belonging. Yeah.
That sense of belonging is extraordinarily powerful. This is why religious people feel a certain way, right? That sense of belonging makes you loyal. It makes you devoted.
Yeah.
But then that can, in turn, be used very dangerously. Like, yeah, if you're, that loyalty is drawn in. But generally, most people who are, like, the up higher ups can be exploited, but most people who kind of join a cult aren't looking to cause trouble.
You and I are in a cult.
They generally are attempting to
find a sense of belonging. It's like joining a street gang.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a sociological reason.
We're in the cult of AAC, you and I.
I am a cult leader myself.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I am.
You know, you run the history department of AAC.
There's a history department of AAC.
There is now.
There's all these book burning.
Now, one of the things about the cults is that in the mid to late 20th century, two things happened, right? You had one, a suffusion of kind of socialist ideas,
mm-hmm.
right, into cults. So they mixed them with Christianity. And that fusion of socialist and Christianity became kind of the formation of a lot of cults. We had it Jim Jones's People's Temple.
Jim right? Jones,
oh, yeah. is an example of that.
The ball in that guy?
No.
It's Jim Jones.
That's not Jim Jones.
He's
Jim Jones is a socialist Marxist Christian.
White Jim Jones.
This is the one that eventually they took cyanide.
Yeah, they drank the Kool-Aid. That's where drinking the Kool-Aid came
kids
from.
And whatnot, and over 800 yeah. or 900 people.
But this killed. After they had remembered because the FBI had come to, like,
investigate. They killed the FBI guy.
They killed the FBI, like, at the airport.
They were afraid that they were going to be... Now, the reason they were afraid is because you had things like Branch Davidians that had happened, which was a botched raid.
Mm-hmm.
The Branch Davidians...
That's the one in Waco, Texas?
That's the one where the federal authorities tried to raid it and it ended up being a massacre, slaughter.
Yeah, the David Koresh.
Yeah, and now that's another aspect of cults is they tend to become paranoid at some point, right?
Yeah.
When they feel like the outside world's coming in on them, they're not going to be understood, they become very, very paranoid.
I mean, that would make sense.
And this is why Donald Trump is a perfect example of it. As he's losing, he becomes more and more paranoid. It's a global conspiracy.
It's rigged.
Rigged. People are out to get me, right? Mm. The women are lying. This is all very common, right? The sense of, like, paranoia.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to socialism emerging with Christianity, the other thing that happened was the guru craze, mm-hmm. what's known as the New Age guru craze, that happened in the mid-20th century. And so you had a lot of this kind of Eastern philosophy fused with kind of Western ideas and from like Theosophy and these other Madame Blavatsky's ideas of Theosophy that then created these New Age cults. And these New Age cults were like a mix of like Hinduism and Buddhism with like some elements of Western Christianity or paganism. And some of them were also space oriented,
mm-hmm.
right? So like a really famous one was Ramanta's School of Enlightenment.
Mm.
Anyone seen that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah.
That's based off of that person. There's a woman there, Jay-Z Knight, that they interview. She's wearing red. She's kind of a statuesque woman.
Uh-huh.
That's she in the early 80s forms this cult called Ramanta's School of Enlightenment, where she claims that she's possessed by a 35,000-year-old
alien
being, alien being that lived in Atlantis, known as Ramanta the Enlightened One. Mm-hmm. And he's like a mix of like a Hindu avatar and Western Atlantean alien spirit. And he's come back to teach people. And these teachings are called dialogue. So she gets possessed, right? She channels him and he comes out and he has a slight Hindu accent, right? Or an Indian accent.
Mm-hmm.
And he teaches Westerners about meditation and prayer and thinking positively and what it's known as a law of attraction stuff.
Yeah.
The law of attraction is just a rehashed new thought. New mm-hmm. thought was early 20th century. It emerged out of the interest in things like mesmerism and psychism, right?
Isn't that what The Secret's based on?
The Secret's all based off of this, right?
Mustafa knows The Secret.
This is like a whole ideological genealogy. It starts off with a mesmer and psychism, people like William Atkinson, who then... Eventually, it's adopted into Ramanta and these kind of New Age people that have the secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's called the Law of Attraction, right?
Yeah.
The Abrahams and all them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like this long history. But you have this moment where it's a mix of like Christian Marxist cults and weird New Thought, neo-pagan Hindu Buddhist thoughts that emerge in the 70s and become quite popular for a while. Well, she's still around.
You end up seeing these people. They always live in communes, right? So it's really communes. Socialistic.
There's always an element of socialism.
It's like they're like self like they're almost self-preserving, mm-hmm. and they try to run independently of the system.
Yeah, they want to be off the grid and shit.
But it's interesting because a lot of these cults also generate a lot of money because they have to be able to survive, right?
Yeah.
Heaven's Gate, perfect example. They made all their money. I mean, they're living in, you know, I think in California, and they had this big giant compound,
Rancho Santa Fe. It's not too far from here.
With all these beds, all this other stuff, they made their money website building. That was where most of their income came from building websites.
Holy shit, they're just a bunch of techies.
Yeah. And their belief going along with this, like this space thing, this concept is that Jesus was actually an extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this idea that along with Bonnie, Applewhite's partner, had died.
This is not unlike, for example, Scientology, who also believes that Jesus is
High level, like otherworldly, right?
Uh-huh.
So, and then also some of the Mormon beliefs also kind of run this almost extraterrestrial concept, right? Of like a planetary, you know, like belief systems, right? They believed as the Hale-Bopp comet was coming that the world was going to recycle itself.
Yeah.
And they believed that Bonnie Nettles was in a spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet there to pick them up. And for them to release and become the evolutionary level above human, they had to relinquish their earthly bodies.
Uh-huh.
So they poisoned themselves, right, over the course of several days.
Uh-huh.
This is interesting. Actually, the last day, apparently they went to a local, like a restaurant, like a Denny's, like the day before. And then apparently they go there all the time. They all bought their Nike shoes, which incidentally, like, made it so Nikes were really hard to sell that year. Like, they actually saw dips in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you saw on the news reports was them wearing Nike shoes with the blankets over their heads, right? They all bought the Nike shoes. They happened to buy them because they were all on sale, which is really funny. And then they all wore all black. And then they took a cocktail of barbiturates, vodka, and like applesauce or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would die. But the way that they looked at it, like, it actually happened over 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Certain amount of people died once, and then over the course of days, more people kind of offed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What was crazy about this is that it was a particularly hot month, so the reason why they covered all of the bodies is because they actually decomposed a lot quicker because the weather was so warm.
Damn.
Yeah. So that was, and they believed that they were going to their utopian planet once they've exited. And they were actually called themselves the away team, oddly enough. Like, they were, you know, as messed up as it is, mass suicide, like, I mean, they had a sense of humor about it, which is pretty crazy.
Another example of this is Raelism, right? So Raelism.
Oh, the Raelians. Yeah.
Israelism.
No, like, Raelism. The Raelian movement. Yeah. And it's a UFO religion, right? And have you ever seen the movie, what's that stupid movie called with Charlize Theron? It's like the beginning.
Monster?
The prequel.
Prometheus.
Prometheus, right?
Oh, yeah.
Prometheus, there's like a deleted scene there where it shows one of those engineers, right?
Uh-huh.
Those humanoids, and they send something off to kind of Earth, right? Uh-huh. The idea being that they're actually the creators of humans.
Uh-huh.
That's what Raelians believe. The Raelian movement believes that extraterrestrials, that all the old prophets, the old gods and whatnot were actually extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
And they created humans and they misinformed humans that they were aliens, that they were angels and prophets and whatnot. And that humanity needs to kind of evolve to a point where they can eventually be accepted by the aliens once more. They are very sexually liberal. You can have as much sex as you want. They fuse Eastern ideas. So, like, you'll often see aliens doing mandalas, sand drawings.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So, like, you have that, again, that Eastern element to it. And they're also very scientific. So they're usually at the forefront of cloning. They spent a lot of money on cloning research. And it's often believed that the first serious alien human clone will be done by the Raelians.
Holy shit. And they're still big? Like,
they're very big.
Yeah.
They're founded in Europe. They're found in France.
Uh-huh.
And they draw a lot of people from Asia. Surprisingly, they have a massive following in South Korea and a massive following in Japan.
And they consider themselves a religion?
They consider themselves a religion. Not only do they consider themselves a religion, they're actually quite successful at converting other people from other religions, like bishops and cardinals and stuff like that, that end up, or priests end up becoming, they convert, like, two ex-Roman Catholic priests, Victor Legendre and Charles-Yvon Guiraud. Converted, and it was kind of a big deal. And one of the things is because they allow sex, right?
There's a very few basic things that all humans desire for. So if you control those, It's really not that hard.
Well, if they offer me a bunch of food and sex, I'll join their club.
They're kind of interesting. They do. They're pro LGBTQ, pro sexuality and pleasure, pro science. So they have this kind of interesting structure.
They're not the ones that believe that about human. I mean, I know that one guy got caught, but they're the ones that believe that like it was abortions were used for selling human parts.
No.
Okay,
no. The Raelians are not. They have some weird beliefs, but they're not.
I saw an offshoot when I was in Vancouver a couple of months ago.
The Raelians?
Not the Raelians, but it was just a bunch of Chinese people. Most of their literature was in Chinese, but they were in front of the Vancouver Convention Center talking about the sale of human organs.
I think you might be talking about the Unification Church, the Moonites. That might be,
yeah.
Or the Moonies, they're called.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're from Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be it.
Oh, yeah, they tried to stop me at Venice Beach once, like giving me like literature. And I told them I was gay, and then they stopped talking to me.
What about a Krishna consciousness?
Krishna consciousness. It all comes out of this.
That's the Hare Krishna people.
Moment in this fusion, right? It's like globalism. That moment where globalism really takes off, you start to also see a fusion of cultures and ideas that produce these new cults. I mean, but it's not a new thing. One of my favorite cults happens to be a medieval cult, the Cathars. They were a medieval cult that really emerged in Europe, and they were Manichaean, in which that they had dualistic sense of the world. Manichaean means that they were influenced by the dualism of Zoroastrianism.
Okay.
Zoroastrianism is one of the most ancient religions in the world, former religions. Anything before Zoroastrianism is generally temple religion, and temple religions aren't religions. They're rituals.
Basically. Aren't there like Afghan and Iranian traditions that are Zoroastrian?
They are, yeah. Like the spun is a Zoroastrian practice.
But there's still Zoroastrians in Iran.
Yeah, there's still Zoroastrians in California.
For real?
They're in Westminster. They have their temple.
Oh, shit.
There's 150,000 of them left in the world. There's not that many of them.
Uh-huh.
But they still practice. They read from the Avestas. There's in Westminster, you can drive by. You'll see Westminster. You see the Ahura Mazda, which is the god of light.
Oh, shit.
But they have that idea, kind of offshoot of Zoroastrianism. There's two offshoots. There's Mithraism, which is a messianic religion that eventually becomes Christianity. Christianity absorbs a bunch of messianic ideas from Mithraism. December 25th, Christ's birthday is actually Mithras's birthday. Christ was likely born in July. Spring or July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or late spring or early.
Drunken Christmas. I remember this.
Yeah. So Mithras. But the other element that influenced a lot of Christianity is Manichaeism, which is a little bit more dualistic. It's another offshoot of Zoroastrianism in which it believes that the world is divided up into two, that the celestial world is ruled by Ahura Mazda, the god of light, and the earth is ruled by Ahriman, right? Which is the god of evil and darkness. Even hell, our concept of hell comes from Zoroastrianism. Originally, most concepts of hell were cold. Mm-hmm. And Zoroastrian hell is dark and cold, right? If you see a lot of early medieval imageries of Christian hell, it's cold. Even Dante's Inferno, the last circle of hell is frozen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so that's Zoroastrian.
Cold day in hell, bro.
Yeah. And so Manichaeism has this dualistic world. The Cathars adopted this. The Cathar idea is that there is a pure god, right? There's a god that rules over everything. This is the godhead, often known as, right? And then there's a demiurge, right? Or kind of a second deity, if you will, that rules the earth. And it's the second deity that kind of is dark and corrupt. So the spark of mankind is from God. That is our inner purity. And then we're clothed in corruption. Our physical bodies are corrupt. And that comes from the god of this earth, right? So that's very clearly dualistic. That
you said the god of this earth, Harambe?
Not Harambe. there is this idea that the celestial, the spiritual is good, anything physical is bad. And one of the troubles that the Cathars ran across is the Crusaders. One of the Crusaders ended up destroying the Cathars because they were this obsessed purity cult that they thought was you know, an aberration to Christianity.
Yeah.
And then even older than them is another dualistic cult. Cults are generally, they don't see the world in gray. They see black and white. What we do is good, what everything else is bad. And they're known as the Sons of Light. This was a Jewish cult that fought against the Romans. And they're quite famous because they had their last stand in Masada.
Oh, yeah, the mass suicide thing.
Yeah, where they were up atop of a hill and they were fighting against the Romans, and the Romans couldn't get up for a while, but the siege was strong enough that you know, the Sons of Light couldn't escape. So instead of surrendering, they all killed themselves.
And then there's one man who took so I remember reading about this.
Yeah.
What they did was they killed one another because suicide is considered taboo, right?
Yeah, it's because they're Jewish, remember?
The last man actually took one for the team and killed himself.
Yeah. And they're recorded in the Scrolls of Qumran, right?
So of what now?
Scrolls of Qumran.
Okay.
The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oh, okay.
That's where we have the Sons of the Light from. And again, what do you see? David Koresh, Branch Davidians, the same thing. Good versus evil, us versus them. We will die for, in certain ways, not unlike Donald Trump.
Yeah.
We're a movement. They're rigged.
Can I ask you a question? Why are they called the Branch Davidians? It sounds like an Armenian thing.
They're a branch of the Seventh-day Adventist. And they were...
Ooh, I pretended to be one of those so I could try to get Sundays off for football.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Well, you kind of messed up because Seventh-day Adventist, the Shabbat is on Saturday.
Fuck. Yeah, like he was going to know that.
And my boss didn't know that either.
Yeah, I know. I guarantee you the boss would say, well, technically, yeah, the Shabbat, you know, like he actually said
that. And then I claim to be a Muslim, so I get Friday morning meetings off. I have to go to prayer Friday mornings. They don't know when Muslim prayer is.
Yeah, no, and then
they fired you.
The only, so I got to say that like the only thing about Muslims, right, because they're so, like, it's bad that America is so ignorant about Islam, but one of the good benefits is like every other day is a Muslim holiday. You can make it up. Mm-hmm. They don't know.
That's true.
Tomorrow is Eid. They're like, oh, really? Okay, yeah, man, I got you.
Well, we talked about your friend Sean Cletus a couple episode before. Didn't you tell him that you guys worshiped a pig god or something?
No, that was a different guy. It was a guy named Orozco. Okay.
Yeah.
We talked about
him,
that before,
I told him that Muslims worship a pig god.
Yeah. No, but okay, so a branch of the Seventh-day...
He's a branch of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is in of itself some consider a cult. It's not. It's a Protestant group.
So okay. do you ever in history see like a deviation from that common... From like the kind of because just like we talked about with serial killers earlier, there's like a certain there's like a trifecta of behaviors that end in sociopathy, right?
Yeah.
Do you find any offshoot like cults that seem to offshoot from that standard behavior, kind of that black and white concept, or like
this? Yeah, like, you do. Like Raelians are an example. The Raelian movements, they don't have the same black and white ideas.
Yeah, right?
We're good, everyone else is evil. They're actually a little bit more ecumenical. They kind of reach out. But yeah, mostly, and this is where I make the division. I say everything is a cult. Yeah.
Everything is
all
a cult.
Things.
I mean, it all fits the criteria, right?
From a functional, sociological, historical perspective, all religions are a form of a cult, right? Mm-hmm. That they've become mainstream. Then I consider that not being in a cult is not inherently evil, dangerous, cruel. Mm-hmm. But then I consider some cults dangerous. So these are what I would call. Dangerous cults. More often than not, they tend to be doomsday cults.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By which we mean cults that believe that the world is about to end or there's some sense of apocalyptic urgency. Mm. And they have a Manichaean view of the world, good versus evil, and they're militant, meaning that they're willing to either kill
or die
for their beliefs. And that's those, I think, are the common attributes of
because those cults end up becoming. I mean, when you look at Aum Shinrikyo.
Aum Shinrikyo,
in Japan, it was literally started as it's a syncretic belief. It's also called Aleph now, but it was a belief. It started as a yoga meditation class.
It's called,
this guy's
called what?
Aum Shinrikyo.
Aum Shinrikyo.
No, you said Aleph.
Aleph. It's also called Aleph. They changed the name because it's split.
Not that. No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think in Arabic, like
no.
So like the guy's son split into Aleph or Hikari Noah in 2007. So like it changed names, but it started as a meditation yoga class in this guy's apartment, like 1986.
Okay.
And eventually he began adopting these concepts like millennialism, right? And
yeah.
Hinduism. He talked about Shiva and Tibetan Buddhism and about. Started talking about Book of Revelation and Nostradamus, also these prophetic ideas. Yeah. And it became this idea of like, he declared, even the guy, the leader, it was Shoko Ashihara, began talking about how he was declared himself Christ and the enlightened Lamb of
Usually
God.
Usually that's when you're in trouble.
Yeah.
When you claim that you're Christ.
When the leader starts to, it's a combination of paranoia and delusions of grandeur. That's when you're like, it enters into the dangerous stage.
Yeah. And he also, and then eventually when it became a doomsday cult, he began citing the Book of Revelation 16:16, talking about the onset of World War III instigated by the United States, nuclear war, nuclear Armageddon, right? All these things. Eventually it led to in the late 80s, a couple violent outbursts, right? But really what went crazy is in 1995, they actually sarin gas attacked the Tokyo subway. Yeah.
So this is a religious cult that becomes a political cult as well.
Yeah. And that's not even there. It's like they do that. There's been plenty of times where it's like they said they had left biological weapons in the bathrooms of other subway areas and all these other things. And they never stopped. And they also, there was a journalist in Japan who was going hardline against them in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And him and his whole family were assassinated by these people, these followers of Aum Shinrikyo. Holy shit. And
like some Yakuza shit.
Yeah. See, now the thing about Yakuza is a gang, right? But the Yakuza is a very different concept from a cult. Yeah. Because those are
gangs. Cults are similar in that they often have an almost identical social function.
Yeah.
Right? But they are different in a lot of ways. And the other thing is their recruitment is almost identical.
Yeah.
Right? It's usually the vulnerable and the marginal in society. However, gangs and cults are very different. Gangs operate within society.
Yeah. Even the Yakuza, right, the biggest families, even the biggest families of Yakuza, they work within the political system of Japan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like they're it's weird because they tighten the laws against them in Japan, right? But they're still a big part of the social order. They bring concepts of like the samurai and, you know, the ronin. Like chivalrous Japan, back into modern Japanese society. Mm-hmm. They even helped. Whenever the earthquakes happened and Fukushima, the Yakuza were in the front line of making sure that citizens got food, got aid.
Not to glorify the Yakuza, they are quite horrific.
I mean, they're horrible. I mean, but that's a really weird honor system.
The way that gangs work is gangs work within societies, right? They have a social function, generally in the underbelly of society, right? What we call the underworld, but they exist there. They're more akin to fraternities. They're brotherhoods, right? Yeah. It's bonds of solidarity.
Yeah.
Religious cults usually have some form of metaphysical concept to them, and they work on the margins of society. So they almost never participate in society themselves. They generally often have their own ranch. They have their own compound, some form of kind of reclusion or seclusion. And that's very important because that allows them to maintain control of their people. And that's very important to understand when cults become dangerous. When cults spiral, right? Because they do. They eventually start to feel like they're being attacked. They spiral. They become paranoid. Then simultaneously, they have delusions of grandeur. That's when they can become very, very dangerous. There's two very famous ones that kind of capture imagination because they both go to this older idea. Because not all cults are evil. Mm-hmm. But because they're on that margins of society, we tend to view them as evil. This is the same with people, right? There was a time where madmen were considered possessed. Right, anything that's on the margins that we don't understand, we usually associate with evil. Women's sexuality, evil, right? Mm-hmm. This goes back, Carlos Ginzburg writes a fantastic bit about this, to the witch cults of Europe, right? Mm-hmm. There was no unified idea of witches. There was no cult of witches in Europe. But there were women who practiced pre-Christian things. And so they were associated with like this mythos and fear that, oh, they're part of a secret order. There was no order, we find. Like historically, when we look, like there's no connection. The same thing with cults. Not all cults are evil, but we associate them with everything. Mm-hmm. But it only takes a couple of them to do some fucked up shit to confirm our fears. One of them is the Order of the Solar Temple, right? These are a group of people who are tied to, who believe that the Rosicrucians and Templars still exist and that they need to maintain some sort of ritualistic connection with them. They committed human sacrifice. They killed a baby.
Yeah. They drove wooden stakes into this baby.
Yeah, they killed a child. They did child sacrifice. So that scares the shit of us. And then the other one is the Children of God. And this one was really famous because Rose McGowan was in it. Rose McGowan from Charmed.
Oh, yeah,
the hot chick. The Marilyn Manson.
The redhead one, Marilyn Manson. And they're reached popularity because they do pedophilia.
Wow.
They're pedophiles.
Is she still in it?
No, she left. She saved herself from it. But
So she was born into it.
She was born in Joaquin Phoenix was another one that was in it.
Holy Children shit. Of yeah, yeah. Him and River.
So yeah, so cults are always on the margins. We associate them with everything, right? But sometimes, guess what? They actually do those things that are fucked up and twisted and whatnot.
That's crazy.
So this was a really twisted episode. Dark. We talked about sociopathy and cults.
We'll call this one our dark twisted fantasy.
This is our dark twisted fantasy of Halloween, I guess. Happy late Halloween.
I made you use a Kanye.
Happy late Halloween. Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yes, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page, write in our wall, do all that good stuff. We're on the tweets at currentlynerdy. Hashtag of the week this week is hashtag culty nerdy? No.
Cult of nerds.
Cult of nerds. Yeah, works better.
Nerd cult.
Nerd cult.
Yeah, there we go.
I think we've used that before, but whatever. It's all right. So go on there, tweet us. Instagram, currently nerdy on there. Follow us, like our pictures, write some comments, tell V that he's special. Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Blog, reblog, write some notes, all that good stuff. YouTube, make sure that you are liking and commenting on our Harley Quinn video. V worked really hard on that, as did I. So thank you. And subscribe to us on there. iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, please. And make all your friends rate, review, and subscribe to us as well. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Also, if you happen to be in Stockholm, I am going to be there for Comic-Con the 4th through the 6th of this month. So come by and say hello at the T-Turtle booth. Ali?
You can catch me on Twitter at AAOLOMI. You can also find me on my website at AliAlomi.com, where you should be able to find the piece I've written about Donald Trump and cults. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbullah. D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-A-H.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, even if you have the cult of personality.